Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 15. I want to pick up reading in verse number 32. I'll just let you remain seated. The Bible said this in verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Now, I thought about this and I thought about it a lot. I didn't say nothing about it teaching last night, but I've chewed on it, if you know what I mean right there. I've chewed on it a lot here over the past few days. The Bible said that they was with Jesus 3 days, and he said, I'm not going to send them away hungry. And look what he says, I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. I wonder, we don't know for 100% sure, but I wonder if they had not entered into a time of fasting while they was with Jesus right there, because he says he's not going to send them away fasting. Now, I've talked about fasting a lot, and going in towards the end of the year, I'll talk about it some more like I always do, and I'll challenge us with a Daniel fast again the first 21 days of the year. But I've talked about different time lengths of fasting, and there's been times that the Lord has put a subject on my heart to fast about and something to fast from, and he didn't put a specific amount of time. So I fasted until the Lord gave me an answer for it. Sometimes it's been a day, sometimes it's been two, sometimes it's been a great length of time. But I wonder maybe if they didn't go into this place fasting, asking God for something, God gave it to them, and now he's going, I don't know. I just know that he's talking about them not fasting, going away. He says this in verse number 33. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took a ship, and came into the coast of Magdala. I want to talk to you about this miracle for just a little while tonight. And in all of the miracles that I've dealt with and looked at, in going through the lessons in Bible college, I've really mainly looked at what Christ done in those miracles. And of course, we know that it's a miracle and it takes Christ to do that. But last night, I took a different approach to it, and I began to look at the disciples' doubt or the disciples' skepticism on what the Lord can do. And how many times in your life, and how many times in our life do we find ourselves doubting if the Lord really can do something? You know what? A lot of times I don't have a problem believing that God can do it for everybody else, but I do have a problem believing that God can do it for me sometimes. And here in this story of Jesus feeding the 4,000 men, now this is a separate story than him feeding the 5,000 men. Some people want to say that it's the same story, but it is not the same story. It happens at 2 different geographical locations. One is after the beheading of John the Baptist. The other is after the Syrophoenician lady has the demons cast out of her. One is at green grass. Another is in a wilderness. One has a certain amount of baskets. Another has a different amount of baskets. As a matter of fact, when you study the word baskets out and the two different miracles, it's two different types of baskets. The 5,000 was a small basket. The 4,000 in these baskets that was left over, you'll find out that it was a big basket, like what we would consider a laundry basket that was left over. So it's definitely two distinctively different miracles whenever you study it out. You'll also find out that this is the second miracle of Jesus feeding a multitude. So the disciples has already saw Jesus do it previously. The disciples has already saw that Jesus could feed even more than this, because this is 4,000. The first one was 5,000. This is 4,000. Now we know that's just the men. It's probably a whole lot more than that, but that was just the men. But the disciples still have a doubt in their mind, and they're skeptic about whether Jesus can really do this. I thought about this. One writer said this. Here's what William said. They emphasize the impossibilities of carrying out the ideal of feeding them. Their answer bristles with objection. They emphasize the impossibility of it. But is that not really where God likes to work at? God likes to work when nothing else will. It is in those times of impossibilities. It is in those wilderness times that Jesus likes to work, and that God likes to work. Brother Aaron done a little devotion for us today, and in that devotion he was talking about the widow lady that had the meal in the barrel, and how God kept coming back. I don't think that God run that meal barrel over, but I think every day there was enough in there to feed her. Hey, if God done that for her, and God's no respecter of a person, that means that God will do for one what he's done for everybody else, then God can do the impossible in our life. And the disciples right here has a time of doubt in their mind. The disciples give three reasons in support of their skepticism of supplying food for the crowd of people. None of these reasons were justified in view of Christ's power, of course, but the disciples were only looking out the problem from a natural standpoint. They was not looking at it from God's standpoint. They was looking at it from a natural standpoint. When you leave out Christ, you can come up with many reasons why something cannot be done. Can I say that again? When you leave out Christ, in other words, when you don't put Christ into the equation, you'll come up with many reasons why things can't get done. And that's what they do right here. The disciples' reasons why it was not possible to feed the people in the wilderness concerned their purse, concerned their place, and concerned the people. They was talking about the purse. In other words, the money. They was talking about the place, the geographical location, and they was talking about such a great drove of people that was there. Now, I want to look at those three things for just a minute tonight, and then I want to share something with you at the end of this. Number one, the disciples' purse was impoverished. The disciples' purse was impoverished. Look back with me in verse number 33. The Bible said this, "And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" You know what they were saying? There's no way we can do this. You got to emphasize the word "we" here. The disciples, we could not provide the bread. Before Christ even asked them to provide the bread, they were announcing they should not be asked to do it, for they had no adequate means to supply the bread. They had no adequate means. How in the world was these followers of Christ, how in the world was they going to fit the bill to feed all of these people? You know what happens a lot of times when the Lord begins to speak to our heart about something? You know what happens a lot of times? Now, I understand. I completely understand budgeting. I completely understand that. You've got to have a budget. I understand all of that. We have a second to none budget that we use at our church. But I want to say this to you. There comes a time where you've got to trust the Lord. And a lot of times when God... I didn't get no amens right there. There's a lot of times whenever God begins to speak to our hearts about things, you know what we do? We immediately begin trying to figure out how that's going to fit in the budget. Where's that going to come from? How are we going to budget that out of it? And what I, Brother Robert, have to remind myself of is this. There is a budget side to the ministry, but we cannot allow a budget to hinder us from doing what God says do. Amen goes right there. And you say, well, preacher, where's the money going to come from? Well, he's provided this far. There's no need to doubt him now. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish with things, but God will supply the need. He always has. So before Jesus even asked them to do anything, they immediately began giving excuses. You know, sometimes in our mind, the preacher says, I wonder if you would let God use you to do this. And you know what we do immediately in our mind? Well, we can't do that. Well, God's not even asked you to do it yet, but we've already told ourselves we couldn't do it. That's where the disciples are right here. In the miracle of feeding 5,000, this argument was also made when you study it out. Of course, in ourselves, we do not have the means to do much of anything for the Lord. But when assessing our ability for service, we must include the power of Christ, because it's not us that does it in the first place. It's Christ that does it through us. Hey, look, them old boys wasn't going to feed that multitude. There was no way that multitude was hungry, that multitude needed something. There was no way that they could do it on their own. But they had done for God who was standing there with them. They had done for God what they had seen Him do before. Can I say something to you tonight? I've saw Him do what He can do. He has proven Himself faithful to me. So let's not allow the impoverishment of our purse to stand in the way of us serving God and doing what God has us to do. Number one, I see the disciples' purse was impoverished. But number two, I see the desert place was impractical. Feed somebody in a desert? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not interested in eating in a desert. What's there in a desert to eat? Old Nacho took a machete and drunk the juice out of a cactus one time on Nacho Libre, if y'all have ever watched that. If you hadn't, you need to watch it. It's pretty funny. He said, my life is good. It's really good. And sent me some of that corn. But anyway... He drunk that water out of it, but there's not much in a wilderness. But there is at this time a huge need in the middle of a wilderness. Are you seeing what I'm saying to you tonight? There is a great need in the wilderness, but the disciples say, we can't do it. I'm headed somewhere here in just a little while. I hope you're hearing me. There's no way. We can't do it. I thought about this. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 4, whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? The place, the wilderness, was against feeding the people. It was impractical to think of feeding food in the middle of a wilderness, for the wilderness is especially a barren place of food. We often complain that God cannot work in this place or that place because it is too hard of a place. It is true that where unbelief exists, that place will not see God doing much. Can I say that again? It is true where unbelief exists, that place will not see God doing much. Let me tell you the reason why. It takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. Are you hearing me? Impossible to please the Lord. And these men was looking at the impoverishment of their purse and the impractical place in the middle of a desert. But God likes to work when nobody else can. God is interested in that crowd in the middle of the desert that's needing something to eat. I thought about this. We cannot use the adversity of the location to limit God. If He has ordered us to work there, His power can overcome the adversity of any location. How many has ever been to Willis Gap Baptist Church? Anybody else ever been to Brother Josh's church? It's smack dab. We in the middle of a city limits compared to where it's at. Man, you go through curves and you lose your stomach four times going over them humps. Every time we go up through there, Victoria would just holler as we'd go over them little humps going to Willis Gap. Y'all that's been up there knows what I'm talking about. And you go around this curve this way and then back around this way and you go over and it's awful. And I thought going up there, the first time I ever went up there, I thought, there's no way that Brother Josh will ever build a church up here in the middle of all this. I went up there this last time to preach revival, and every night it was packed out. There was kids running around in the yard. The church was full. The Spirit of God was moving. You say, preacher, what are you? The location does not matter to God. God knows where every man is at, and everywhere there is a creature, there should be a preacher. The location, right? So I see this. I see the disciples' purse was impoverished. I see the desert place was impractical. But I want you to see this in closing. The drove of people was immense. In other words, they was everywhere, man. There's 4,000 that's just men. Let's give all of them a wife. That's 8,000. Let's give all of them one child. Then that's 12,000. And probably you that knows manners and customs knows they had a whole lot more than one child. They had a whole, what if they was all holders? It's about 823,000 that was there that day. Are you hearing me? Now think about this. There was a ton of people that was there. There was a lot of people that was there. I began to think, as far as they were concerned, the crowd was much too big for them to solve the food problem. It was just way too big for them to solve the food problem. But what they had forgot, you know what they was doing? They was looking at their purse. They was looking at the place. They had forgot about the person that was in the midst of all the people. They had forgot the whole time that Jesus was standing there, the one that had turned the water to wine, the one that had fed 5,000, the one that had stepped out in the midst of the storm and calmed the sea, the one that had raised the dead and made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear, the one that had cast out the demons of the Syrophoenician one. They had forgot about every bit of that. And all they could see was their current situation. And in the midst of the disciples looking at their current situation, there was a whole host of people starving to death. And somebody needed to give them something to eat.